This evening, if you get your Bibles, we're going to read a few familiar verses. Brother Ian touched on these a couple weeks ago and got me interested. So let's go to them. 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now, I got in a hurry clicking, so let's do this. There is the first few verses where I should have started. 1 Timothy 4 and 7. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Brother Monty, I needed you to read these verses so I wouldn't get so mixed up. When Ian was here, he touched on this about exercising and how we do like to exercise. Exercise, let's do this. What are the benefits of exercise? If you exercise and eat less, you lose weight. Don't look at me. Exercise will keep muscles in tone. Exercise, if you don't use it, you lose it, right? Put yourself in a cast. You know, you put your arm in a cast and you run around like this for 6 weeks and you take it off, you're not hardly going to move it. It don't want to work. And we have all kind of gadgets now to help us exercise. You can buy machines and you get on them and you exercise. Zane put an app on my phone, and he put in fat boy, 70 years old, and I need to take 10,000 steps a day. And when I do that, it goes, da-da-da-da-da, I've reached my goal. So we have all of these different things that will help us exercise. But think about this. It takes regular exercise. In Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. I think about the professional athletes. I think that when the season is over, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, whatever, they just go sit on the couch. They veg out. They sit on the couch and eat tater chips till the next season. Wrong. They keep in training all the time. They're shooting, passing, jumping, whatever they do, they're in training. They go into have a regular regimen of things they do all the time. 24/7. They stay busy exercising because if they're in shape, they more likely won't get hurt. You know, it's interesting when Becky was in that rehab center, you have PT. That's physical therapy. And they have you using muscles to help you get well. Then you have OT. That's occupational therapy. And they help teach you how to get in a car, to go up steps, take a shower, and all of this stuff at home. And these people train for about 7 years to get that degree. So there's a great need for exercise and doing it regularly to keep yourself fit. Now let's go another step. 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. You know what I mean? You can be in the best shape and it's not going to profit you. But godliness is profitable in all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Therefore, I'm going to make this assumption. You can be the best passer in NFL history, or you can be the best shooter in NBA history, or you can be the strongest and the fastest and the highest jumper in the world, and you're standing before God on the judgment, and He says, that don't count. It will not help you to get to heaven, no matter how fast you are, or how much you can lift, or how high you can jump. I think that's what this verse is saying. It profiteth little, no matter how good a shape you're in. But godliness is profitable in all things, and it will help us in the life we have now and of that to come. That's what we want to study on today. How is it going to help us on today's living to be godly? 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I dare say everyone here worries about something. When's it going to rain? It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too dry. I worry about my wife. I worry about my husband. I worry about my children. I worry about my weight. I mean, it just goes on and on. We worry. We're worriers. And God will help us with that if we put godliness in control of our life. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man should do to me. Probably the key here is covetousness and being content. We bring a lot of the problems in our life on ourselves. You know, I need a newer, better, whatchamacallit. I need more, better, whatchamacallit. Mine's out of date. I need more of them. It needs to be better. It needs to be bigger. And we bring these woes upon us, and as a result, we're so consumed with maybe getting those or paying for those, that brings up the next one. Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. We were sitting down, I guess last night, and looking at making payments on things. I said, now this is going to scare you to take and figure your payments over actually what you bought. So for instance, let's say you put $1,000 on a credit card and you pay the minimum for the next 25 years, your $1,000 cost you $10,000. And so we end up worrying and fretting about that, and we're consumed with overtime, we're consumed with going out and paying off our debts, and God has an answer for that. We end up working for financial institutions is what we're doing, because that's on our mind. We got to make the payments. Every 30 days, we got to make the payments. And God will help us if we live godly and not let that consume our life. Now, to offset that, I'll give you the other side of it. Sean sent me a text a month ago. Said, it's a first. 2018 Ford pickup, $100,000. You know, that's a lot of money for a Ford pickup. And I'm sure a Chevrolet or a Dodge would be the same thing. They're going to stay in the same category. So it takes some debt sometime. I'm not saying you should not owe nothing. But when we get consumed with all we're worried about is making ends meet and not living godly, that's where the problem is. Persecution. God will help us with that. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You know, whenever the writers of the New Testament were writing, they had the fear being beheaded or beaten or burned alive or really having so much that could happen to them. And we don't have that today. Personally, I believe we're getting closer. I believe that maybe, you know, we'll have shooting in churches and things. I mean, it may be going to be in our lifetime when we'll have that persecution. I know they talk about in India, some of the preachers are having to hide in the bushes when the certain army guys come by. So they have to worry about persecution. But God is with us. We'll be persecuted. Maybe not with physical harm. Maybe it's with words. Maybe it was what people say about you. So God will help us with that if we live a godly life. How about friends? I didn't think about this too much, but as I got studying, I decided to add it. In John 15 and 14, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you might go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask in the name of the name, and whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Lots of times, and Brother Kalen brought this out this morning, we'll have issues with our brothers or sister, with our friends, and it causes heartache in our life. And he showed us today how to forgive from that. But you know, we all have a huge family. Each one of you is my sister, my brother, and blood is thicker than water. We're all close to one another. When you're living a godly life, you have that closeness, that big family that we see right here. There's not one of you I wouldn't be afraid to ask you, "Hey, I need something." And I think most of you would bust a gut trying to get it done. I mean, y'all would do it. "I need this." I think it would happen. Sorrow. We all have sorrow. 1 John 5:3. "For this is the love of God, that you keep my commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" You turn on the TV, you look on the paper, there's all kind of evil around us. If we have dealings in the world, you know, nowadays, if you want to buy or sell anything, you better get a contract. You better have it signed. You better have it notarized. You better make sure that they're going to do it. It was interesting when we built the church, these plumbers are going to show up on Tuesday. And finally, I think Mayor Garland once said, "Can you tell us which Tuesday you're going to be here?" People don't do what they say they're going to. So we have these disappointments that come along from time to time. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. To me, the greatest sorrow is burying a loved one. Saying goodbye. Not to see him again. But we see here, we're going to be together with them again. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. The world and those out of Christ don't have that. If you're living a godly life, there's a great deal of comfort with that. If a man die, shall he live again? Yes, the scriptures tell us that. We will be alive again. And we'll be reunited and live with the Lord forever. Okay, let's go to another thought. Here's a dirty word, sin. Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I say most everyone here has sinned. Most everyone here has lied. Most everyone here has broken God's law. And that makes you unhappy when that happens. It's interesting to read about the rich and famous. How a lot of them are so unhappy. Money don't bring them happiness. Fame don't make them happy. They turn to drugs or whatever. They're not happy. Sin has consumed their life. They can't be happy. They're the most miserable people in the world. But God has a remedy for sin. I'll get here. Some of you people are in trouble. Galatians 3 and 27. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. God had a plan. And I think most of you know that plan. We're told to hear, study the Bible. We're told to believe in Jesus Christ. That's as simple as it is. Believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Luke 13:3 said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repent of living wickedly. And say, I'm going to live a godly life. Confess, just like we have people come to the front. We say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I do. Then we go into that room, change clothes, come here and get into the water. You're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Your sin is gone. Your slate is washed clean. If you haven't done that, you are an ungodly person. That is one step that must be taken. There's no way around it. There's no shortcut. God don't cut anybody slack. This is His plan for all. You take it or you leave it. And that's the way it goes. And you know, most of us here have done that. We've been baptized and we put on Christ and we go out in the world and sometimes the world gets on us. We fall short again. And James 5 and 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God in His infinite wisdom knew that we probably would fall short. There may be some of us that don't. But we get weak. We do things we shouldn't do. We say things we shouldn't say. We leave undone things we should be doing. He has an answer for that. Pray one for another. And this, none of this is hard. It's simple to stay in a saved condition. To stay living righteously. Godly exercise takes effort, just like physical exercise. Acts 24 and 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Do you always have your conscience void of offense toward God? Or is your mind other places? Is your mind at work? Is your mind at play? Is your mind worrying about things? We should be in a zone. You know, sometimes you'll watch a basketball game and they say, boy, that player's in the zone. He's really making them. He's got his eye on the goal. He's ready. We should be that way in our godly exercise. How do we exercise? Do we run? What do we do? Do we jog? My boss, my ex-boss, does marathons. Well, that wasn't good enough, so now he does Ironman. He runs for a bunch of miles, and then he swims for a bunch of miles, and he gets on a bicycle and rides for a bunch of miles. Pretty good shape. I love to talk to him about 1 Timothy 4, about bodily exercise profiteth little. He don't even like to see me bring that up. How do we exercise? Let's go back to our first reading. In 1 Timothy 4 and 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Here's part of our exercise. Reading, exhortation, and doctrine. I mean, that's not hard. We just have to do it every day. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on hand of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed into thyself and into the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. What are we doing exercise for? To get in shape, right? We want to do it to save ourselves. When we meet the Lord on Judgment Day, we want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Also, we need to be telling others about Jesus. That's our job. That's our job description. Them that hear thee. Are they hearing you? Do they hear you tell about Jesus? Are they hearing nothing? We need to exercise ourselves. Let's talk a little bit about profitable of that to come. Y'all know where I'm headed here. Matthew 19 and 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake shall receive an 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. I do not know how to describe everlasting life. I just don't know how. We found some pictures the other day, or Becky did. Sister Anna gave us these pictures, and they was made in 82 or 3 or 4. And it was a picture of the church building there in Allison. And she had wrote on the back of the pictures, and it says, Curtis Hall, Joe Dukes, extending the eaves so that they could brick the building. Some of the grandkids was there, says, you mean that building had windows in it? Any of y'all remember windows in the church at Allison? You cranked it and they went out, didn't they? That was before air conditioning. And cinder block walls. Then here's some more pictures, and it showed Red Duke standing in front of the finished church building, brick supplied by Claude Puett. You know, I'm thinking, oh, that was so long ago. That was 30 years ago. And eternity would be kind of like Kaylin talked today. It would be 30 times a gazillion. So when we think about everlasting, it's hard for us to fathom that. It's hard for us to think about living on and on and on and on and not dying and whatever. But that's the reward we have waiting for us if we live godly. Hebrews 11:6. But now that is our better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself. A mansion. He's prepared that for us. If we live godly and fully exercise. Revelation 21:3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, it would be out of this world to be in a place where you didn't look in the paper and every week and, well, so-and-so died, or go to the hospital and there wasn't someone laying there in pain. And you think a place like that, we really want to go there. This is somewhere that we want to be. If we've been around someone in pain, or been someone that has had health issues, we want to be there. We want to be in such a place. Because this world is filled with pain, sorrow, tears, crying, things going wrong, death. Like I said, death is telling people goodbye. We want to be in a place like that. And that's what he said is waiting for those that will exercise and live godly. Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, I like the Revelation 21:7. Where we can live with God, we will be his children. I don't like verse 8. To have our part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. If we don't live godly, we get that.